4. Last Meal. On the way back to the hotel, I ran into Paul again. He was sitting alone in the shade of a thatched roof patio outside a shabby bar called the Yacht Club, drinking a draft beer that looked good. I sat down with him but asked for a Coke, out of a vague concern that Dad might come by. Drinking with a man, oh my! I didn't know the legal age, either. If I was carded, he'd find out I wasn't really quite 19. It was a short date, anyhow. We'd just exchanged, "Where are you from?" formalities when his cell pinged and he had to go off to the elevator office. I did learn that he was from New Jersey, but didn't have time to ask about mafia connections or how to breathe carbon monoxide. It was not a pleasant place to sit alone and wonder what the hell I was doing. My friends back home were about evenly divided between being jealous and wondering whether I'd lost my mind, and I was leaning toward the latter group. The Coke tasted weird, too. Maybe it was drugged, and when I slumped unconscious, they would drag me into the hold of a yacht and smuggle me off to Singapore for a rewarding career in white slavery. Or maybe it was made with sugar instead of corn syrup. I left it, just to be on the safe side, and went on to the hotel. Speaking of Coke, that's what we weren't having for dinner, no matter how much Card and I might have liked it. Or a pizza, or hamburger, or even a cold can of beans. Of course it was going to be fancy, the last real family meal for 6 years. Fancy in the Galapagos was not exactly Park Avenue fancy. They don't serve up the iguanas, fortunately, but there wasn't much you'd find on a normal menu. The hotel restaurant, La Casa Dolores, served mostly Ecuadorian food, which was not a surprise. I had picadillo, a Cuban dish that sounded like hamburger over rice, and pretty much was, although it tasted strange, like Mexican, but with a lot of lemon juice and a touch of soap. Mother said that taste came from a parsley-like herb, cilantro. I trust they won't be growing it on Mars. Or maybe it's their only green vegetable. Dad, being Dad, ordered the most outrageous thing on the menu. Tronquito, bull penis soup, along with goat stew. I refused to look at any of it, and propped a menu up between us so I wouldn't be able to see his plate. Mother got ceviche, raw fish, which came with popcorn. It actually looked pretty good. I like sushi all right, but excuse me for being practical. I had visions of 36 people waiting in line for that one bathroom. I didn't want too much adventure on the first day. Card ordered a sausage with beans, but only ate the beans. Maybe the sausage looked too much like Dad's soup. I didn't want to know. Mother asked what we'd done all afternoon. Card had a detailed analysis of the island's game rooms. Why go to Mars when you can virtual yourself all over the universe, killing aliens and rescuing big-breasted babes? If we run into aliens on Mars, we probably won't have a single ray gun. I told them I'd met the pilot. "You think he's only 30?" Mother asked. "Well, I haven't done the math," I said. "He was in the Space Force for 5 years, so he was at least 23 when he got out. He's been to Mars 3 times after that, and probably spent some time on Earth in between. Got a geology degree somewhere," trying to make him sound as young as possible. "Maybe in space," Dad said. "Passing the time. He looked 30-ish, though." He was still eating, so I didn't look at him. He looked zombie-ish, actually. I guess he could have been older than 30. I explained about the sunblock, but didn't mention his offer to take me rock hunting. Dad was being a little too protective of me, where males were concerned, and 30-some probably didn't sound old to him. "It's pretty impressive," Mother said evenly, "that he recognized you and remembered your name. I wonder if he knows all 25 of the passengers' faces, or just the pretty girls." "Please, I hate it when she makes me blush.
Ooh, my pretty,
Card said in his moron voice, and I kicked him under the table. He flinched, but smiled. None of us are going to look all that great with no makeup, I said. Not allowed because of the air recycling. I wanted to get a lipstick tattoo when I heard about that, but neither parent would sign the permission form. It's not fair. Mother had a cheek tattoo done when she was not much older than me. It's way out of style now, and she hates it, but that doesn't have anything to do with me. If you get tired of a lipstick tattoo, you can cover it with lipstick. Brain. Levels the playing field, Dad said. You'll be at an advantage with your beautiful skin. Daddy, don't. Mention the word skin, and all of the acne molecules in my bloodstream get excited and rush to the surface. I won't exactly be husband hunting, not with only 5 or 6 guys to choose from. It won't be quite that bad, Mother said. No, worse, because most of them plan to stay on Mars, and I'm already looking forward to coming back. I stood up and lay my napkin down and walked out of the restaurant as fast as dignity would allow. Mother said, "Say excuse me," and I sort of did. I managed not to start crying until I was up in the room. I was angry at myself as much as anything. If I didn't want to do this, why did I let myself be talked into it? Part of it might have been the lack of boys where we were headed, but we'd talked that over. We'd also talked over the physical danger and the slight inconvenience of going to college a couple of 100 million miles off campus. I put in my earplugs and asked for Eroica, the Tad Yang version. That always calmed me. I stepped out onto the balcony to get some non-air-conditioned air and was startled to see the space elevator, a ruler-straight line of red light that dwindled away to be swallowed by the darkness. Maybe the first 2 miles of 50,000. I hadn't seen it in the daylight. The stars and the Milky Way were brighter than we ever saw them at home. I could see 2 planets, but neither of them was Mars, which I knew didn't rise until morning. Dad had pointed it out to me on the way to the airport, which seemed like a long time ago. Mars was a lot dimmer than these 2, and more yellow-orange than red. I guess the yellow planet didn't sound as dramatic as the red one. I darkened the room and listened to the rest of the symphony, then went back down to the restaurant in time to get some ice cream, along with a sticky sponge cake full of nuts and fruit. Nobody said anything about my absence. Card had probably been threatened. Dad treated me his delicate girl in her period way, which I definitely was not. I'd gotten a prescription for delays and wouldn't ovulate until I wanted to, after we got to Mars. The download for the space elevator had described the use of recyclable tampons in way too much detail. I was just as happy I'd never have to use them in zero-G on the John Carter. Vacuum sterilizes everything, I suppose, so it was silly to be squeamish about it. But you're allowed to be a little irrational about things that personal. I managed to push it out of my mind for long enough to finish dessert. Card and I tried TV after dinner, but everything was in Spanish except for CNN and an Australian all-news program. There was a Japanese Game Boy module, but he couldn't make it work, which didn't bother me in my book at all. The room had a little fridge with an interesting design. Every bottle and box was stuck in place with something like a magnet. If you plucked out a Coke or something, the price flashed in the upper right-hand corner of the TV screen, and a note said it had been added to your room bill. The fridge knew we were underage and wouldn't let go of the liquor bottles. But we were evidently old enough for beer. A sign said the age was 18, but the fridge wasn't smart enough to tell whether it was serving me or my brother. So I had 2 beers, which helped me get to sleep, but but Card stayed awake long enough to build a pyramid of his 6 cans. I guess I could have been a responsible older sister and cut him off, but there wasn't going to be a lot of beer out on the Martian desert.